Welcome to The Gauge, a new podcast brought to you by Greengage, the first fully integrated financial services group, bridging the traditional financial services space with the new digital innovations in crypto assets and blockchain. In this series, we gauge expert opinion on the latest tech trends and plan to bring you a measured approach to discussing key developments in the world of blockchain and digital assets. Your host today is Greengage CEO Sean Kiernan, who is in conversation with Member of Parliament Lisa Cameron. Lisa is a Scottish National Party politician. She's been a Member of Parliament since 2015 and is the Chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Crypto and Digital Assets. In this podcast, Lisa and Sean discuss the growth potential for the crypto asset and blockchain industry in the UK and how the UK can grab hold of this opportunity for job creation and harness it to the good of our future economy. How can we build a digital road to the regions so that the benefits of the technology don't just accrue to London and the South East, but are part of the wider levelling up agenda? And how can we make sure that the UK is a responsible place for encouraging new business models, but with the appropriate checks and balances to protect users and investors?
Lisa, it's fantastic to have you. The chair of the APPG Crypto, a member of parliament for the SNP, and a thought leader in this space. A warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
We have some questions I'd love to get straight in, given that you're an expert in this space. The first question was, what do you see as the growth potential for the crypto asset and blockchain industry in the UK? And do you think the UK can grab hold of this opportunity for job creation?
I think that's really interesting moving forward. We've been looking a lot in the All-Party Parliamentary Group about jobs of the future, education, training courses, this space, coding, Web3, how we'll come together and create much of the industry or future technology. And looking at is going to address what are some of the building blocks that we need to have in place to ensure that we stay ahead of this curve, that young people can access these opportunities in terms of future careers, and those who are already working in industry can upskill, and they will also be able to make the best of these opportunities moving ahead. So the Prime Minister, when he was Chancellor, gave us the vision of a cryptocurrency hub in the United Kingdom. And part of our current inquiry is looking at what are the challenges in achieving this? What is the vision? What will it mean in terms of the different parts of sectors, finance, culture, industry? How will fintech be reshaped in a sense? And we're going to be exploring all of these issues as we move forward. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity. But obviously, at the heart of everything we do as well is consumer protection and a regulatory framework so that investors and consumers can have that stability and confidence as well.
That's a fantastic truth and a very good overview of the opportunity at large. I hear a lot about opportunity in the space and also education. I think the APPG work you're doing is very important to shape that. Could you talk to some of the educational initiatives you're working on?
You described me at the start as a bit of an expert. Well, actually, I have to confess, I'm on a learning curve, just like many in the parliament. And part of the initial education that we're doing is for ourselves. So when I started in the space, a constituent had contacted me who had unfortunately had a negative experience and befallen a scam and asked me what work being done in Parliament to address crypto and digital assets. And I said, that's fine. There will be an all-party group. I'll put you in touch with them. Well, then lo and behold, I looked and there wasn't. And then I said, let's have a deeper dive and see how many debates we've had in the Parliament on these issues. And we hadn't had any. And I said, my goodness. I started to look at figures to see that millions of people are involved in the industry across the UK, and yet Parliament was largely silent on the issue. So education, number one, I suppose, was really for ourselves. It was about getting up to speed. We've had a number of sessions in the Parliament, getting an understanding. And then we began to have industry experts come into the Parliament to speak to us. And I have to say, it was a bit like a different language, to be honest. So we had a number of sessions where we were trying to get the jargon even of the sector and explaining to ourselves as MPs and MORs that fiat wasn't an old make of car, which is, you know, pretty much where our understanding was at the start. And really having to upskill ourselves so that when we have debates in Parliament, we've had one now, we want to have many more. And that's a key aim. But they're going to be informed with an evidence base. It's not going to be purely sensationalist about what we read. Perhaps when people have negative experiences, it will reflect that, but it will also reflect, as you already highlighted, the opportunities and the positivity and the sector in a broad space, so that there's a balanced opinion there moving forward. So education of the Parliament, of MPs, of peers, but we also think now, and particularly with what's happened with FTX and some of the other industry players over the past 2 years, we think that there also has to be really key development in terms of financial education for consumers, because I think many people are finding things are struggling now and are looking to see if there are quick fixes. And the last thing we want is in a cost of living crisis is people to be investing and not to be having the knowledge of the level of risk that they're taking and to be losing hard-earned savings that they have. And we want consumers to be much more savvy in respect of the space and to feel that they are building their understanding, not by trial and error and losing lots of money, but also because there's an onus to really, I think that's from the companies as well as via government initiatives and regulators, is to really look at trying to make people aware of the risks involved in this sector just now, and also ensuring that consumers can make an informed decision when they go ahead. So yeah, we've undertaken a massive piece of education and we're still on that learning curve. I'm still on it. But I'm now looking at international best practice. I've been speaking to those who are working in the EU on MiCA. I met with regulators from Canada who already have put in place a framework, and I've been over to speak to those who are working in Zug in Switzerland to look at their regulatory frameworks. We're really looking at international best practice and evidence base and moving ourselves forward in the space where there's increased scrutiny, I think, given the events of this past, but that we can do that in a very informed way in the Parliament.
I love the journey, the story of how you came into the space, yeah, and also the way you've seen a positive in it. I mean, that's a difficult entry point when you hear of the negative side, which I think we all have heard.
No, absolutely. That was my starting point. So, you know, people have come to me and said, oh, are you an investor? Are you someone who has some kind of, I suppose, personal interest in this area? Can you be objective? Well, I've come to it from quite a negative slant in that sense. So the education piece has helped me to see things in a much broader spectrum in terms of technologies of the future. We can't wind back time. We have to make sure we can harness their potential, but at the same time in a safe way for consumers. And I'm not an investor in the space, so it's not like I have a personal interest or benefit to gain from that. So I'm very much interested, enthusiastic, but at the same time cautious. And I think that's a good way to be for the group going forward, because I think it's much more legit than anyone who perhaps has a personal sort of interest or background in the field. I'm an inquisitive, interested MP like the others in Parliament. There's no difference between me and anyone else. And if I can get it, honestly, the rest of the MPs and the peers will understand as time goes on the potential that's offered. Also, we have to be very cautious in terms of making sure that consumers are protected in everything we do.
It's a bit of a balancing act.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that obviously you're quite passionate about is what I'm calling the digital roads to the regions. So the idea of looking at these opportunities, but seeing how we can all benefit, not just in London and the Southeast, but across the whole country. What are some things that you're seeing as ways that we can support this, not just as a firm, but as a listener, maybe?
Yeah, that's why I'm interested in there being perhaps innovative hubs regionally, or on top of that, looking at college and university courses that can be developed right across the United Kingdom to give people opportunities out with London. I mean, I understand, obviously, London for so many years has been leading in fintech, but when we're leveling up, we want to make sure that the rest of the United Kingdom people can benefit no matter where they are. And I think digital technology offers that, because much of it you can learn, you can do online, and you can engage and collaborate with people right across the world. And so I think it does give great opportunity to look at upskilling, to look at jobs of the future, to look at the courses that we need to have in place and who can lead those, and how we can coordinate those right across the United Kingdom. And I think also with innovator hubs, I'd like to see those being supported right across the UK, so that no matter where you are, if you have the skills and the enthusiasm and the motivation in this space and want to make a difference, you want to create jobs in the area where you are, you don't have to come to London to do that, but you can actually make a difference for people locally so that they can feel engaged and collaborate in this great new sector, because I think it had potential for inclusion. I think that's what it's, inclusion should be at the heart of this space. And financial inclusion is not something we've been great at, I don't think, in developing countries. I think there are many people are excluded through education or through engagement or just even through lack of being able to get a step on the ladder. So these technologies offer people opportunities and inclusion. But of course, that should also be inclusion in terms of jobs and roles, creativity and innovation. And I think the UK is a fantastic place for startups, for scale-ups and for innovation. And certainly that should benefit us going forward. But you're entirely right. We need to see that happen in regional health.
I think one thing that excites me so much is how these technologies can actually reduce costs to entry. So if there's a way to structure something in a way that the marginal cost to access can almost bridge the digital divide, where you don't necessarily need to be in London, you can look at doing a small, say, fixed income instrument, but with funding markets that are local or maybe wider, but just surfacing those for people across a broader area. I know one thing that you've spoken a lot about is the development side. How do we look at not just the UK and the digital roads, the regions here, but internationally? It would be great to hear some of your thoughts around how do we actually go forward in that and unlock it?
Yeah, I'm very enthusiastic about this because, well, actually, when I started in Parliament, the first committee that I had a place on was the International Development Select Committee. And part of that role, I was really keen to see marginalised people across the world being given opportunities. And I think part of some of the debate that we've been having, and we had certainly when I was on that community, was about making sure that our aid money got to the most vulnerable. But the public in the UK are very generous and very kind. But what they don't want to see is funding being diverted into organisations who are taking part of the funding away from those at the front line, even in some reports that we had read, corruption along the way and even getting some of that money to the most vulnerable. So I was very interested to hear about the technology in terms of the blockchain and how we can actually have money, international aid money, going directly to the recipient, and that can be very closely monitored. And that there's also other technologies they were telling me about, Iris technology and various different technologies can be built into the picture to make sure that it is the correct people who are actually receiving the funding. And I think a lot of it is that public want to make sure that the money is well spent, and that every penny of it, or the most of it, certainly the overwhelming majority of it, gets to the most vulnerable. Obviously, there's some administration costs along the way, but we want to minimise those. So I think technology can really help us to do that. And so I'm interested in those issues. And certainly, Sarah Champion, who's a fantastic advocate and who has been chairing the Select Committee when in Parliament, I'm very keen to have a discussion with her and perhaps encourage that her committee look at how do they take these issues forward, and could this technology be of benefit? I think as well, it's very timeous, because if there's going to be, we have 0.7%, and I've been an advocate of that, but with the pragmatic circumstances we're in, if that's moved to 0.5, we need to make the most of that money. So there is a possibility also of making the money stretch further. Then I think that's in everyone's interest. So yeah, I'm very keen. I also heard so many positives about how the technology has enabled people who have been struggling in the war zone in Ukraine to actually receive funding that they've needed just to survive. So you have to balance this picture in your mind when you hear that so much good can actually come from this innovation and technology. But at the same time, we have to have this clear regulatory framework so that we maximise having good actors in the UK, and that when we're engaging, that people feel protected to the in terms of the redress that they could possibly have if something goes wrong, and also in terms of their knowledge, their understanding, and the regulatory bodies are there to support them in their activities. So I think there's a lot of work to be done. And as you say, it's a balancing act in a sense. But I do see a lot of potential internationally as well. And that's something that I think can make a huge difference. I also spoke with a number of individuals who have family members who work as migrants in other countries, and they had told me that you can also have remittances sent straight across without a delay if people are in need of funding, and they were certainly utilising the technology in order to send funds home to relatives who needed them at that point in time. So there's great scope, great potential. We just need to make sure that the potential and scope is used for positives. And I think, yeah, that's the balancing act that you described.
It's a tricky one. I mean, the Ukraine case is fascinating, for example, and remittances. I mean, just removing some of the fat, so to speak, of what middlemen are taking by going peer-to-peer, there's a huge upside for emerging markets. I think one of the things that I've been hearing is it's a technology, but people often are quite emotive around it. So they have either immediate positive or negative reactions. What I hear from you is that this isn't necessarily a technology, is a technology, and it's what we do with it that determines if it's positive or negative. You spoke of the innovation potential that we could achieve in the job creation across the country, but also the risks around consumer protections and the regulatory response. Do you think we're on the right direction of travel with what we're doing, or could we do anything better to grow this ecosystem in the UK?
I think we're heading in the right direction. Has the pace been as fast as I would have liked? Or, I feel with the political turmoil we've had over the past year, it's been a frustration for me. It's almost been like two steps forward, one step back. As soon as I reach out to a minister who's working in the field, then things change and I have to start again with a different individual. So all have been a bit frustrating for me, but I think the Prime Minister has a positive vision for good in terms of the usage of this technology and the impact that this sector can have. So I think it's then about scoping that out. And that's what we're trying to do with our current inquiry. And there's lots of things happening in the Parliament now. I have to say the momentum is really building. So we have our inquiry into making the vision a reality. Currently, the challenges and opportunities moving ahead. The Treasury Select Committee, they have their inquiry just now. I heard a few weeks ago that the CMS committee are now looking at NFTs. So there's lots of different things happening now. And as I said, I'm really keen that those who are working on international aid start to look at the potential there. So I think it's about continuing to maximise this momentum and to continue to work towards what I would call evidence-based practice and to look at what's happening internationally, to look at, I think given no matter where people sit or are voted in terms of Brexit, we are where we are. It does give the opportunity to create a bespoke framework for the UK so we can have a look at what's happening elsewhere. And then we can be saying, well, what could work here and what could make us very competitive, but what would also make us very confident and safe as well? Because I think that there's a balance there to be struck as well. You don't want to be so competitive that you attract bad actors to this jurisdiction. I don't think we need to do that. We've got so much that's a potential and a positive in terms of research, innovation, universities that are really at the top of their game. And we're at the height of fintech anyway. So the skills and experience are sitting here. So we can maximise and harness all of that. So it's not gone at the pace or the continuity that I would like. But I'm hoping settled now. And that we can begin to build cross-party. It's very much a cross-party endeavour. I don't think it's partisan at all in that sense. And it is about, though, having in mind, I think, my starting point as well, which was my own constituent who lost money, which might have been a small amount for an investor, but he wasn't an investor, so it was a lot for him. And I think we have to always have at the core this working towards a regulatory framework that gives confidence to investors, to consumers, to our constituents, but also harnesses the potential and make sure that the UK continues to stay abreast of the curve and at the helm of this sector. So it's incredibly exciting time, I think. It really is. And I feel very positive, but I always have that little bit in the back of my mind, which is my starting point, which reminds me and pulls me back, grounds me and says, yes, consumers are at the heart of this and that's where we should be focused.
Completely agree. Yeah. And it's also very inspiring to hear your views on this, having been in the space for a few years. We've been doing a little piece of research around parliamentary mentions of crypto, DLT, and blockchain. And thanks to initiatives from what you're doing and a group of other people, these have definitely gone up. So I would say that the dialogue is there, and hopefully that's a sign of change.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say on that, well, we have a very good secretariat as well in Crypto UK who are supporting the work of the All Party Group. And every week now, we're looking and sending a newsletter to parliamentarians and members of the House of Lords to update them on things that have happened, positive and negative, so that they're abreast of it, because many people won't have time to sift through all of the information. We're also, when things are happening, suggesting perhaps you might want to raise this within the chamber, so for instance, the FTX issue, just to make sure that it's on the radar of government, that the MPs are interested in this field. So we are really pushing to try and increase people's awareness, increase the mentions in the parliament, and build towards informed debate moving forward. And I think that's our little part of laying the groundwork to try and make sure that when people don't have time, we can give them information that's evidence-based and that we've sifted through already to try and make it very objective, balanced for their own needs.
Which is most important. My last question, if I may, we're just about to get the Financial Services and Markets Bill coming through, and I'd be very keen to hear your thoughts on it. And if you think this is kind of rosy days ahead.
Well, I think it's helpful, obviously. We're starting to see bills that link into this sector that we're starting to take things forward. I think it definitely is on government's radar. As I say, the main frustration I have had has been the step forward, step back, lack of continuity. So for the next, people keep asking me, what's going to happen in the UK and what's the time frame? So international people are asking me this because they can see that we've had a bit of an unstable time, to say the least. And bills are starting to come through. We want to be focused on them rather than the political chatter and everything else, the chaos that's happening round about. And I think as long as we maintain stability, then that will start to push ahead. I know that we're going to be looking at stable coins, and we've already also had some organisations in to explain to MPs about what the CBDC would look like, what potential impact that could have. Some of their discussion on pilot projects with Bank of England round about that, looking at NFTs. So there's a lot happening. It's just consolidating its stability. And my plea to government is, please, can we have some stability to fulfill this? Because I really want to maintain the focus. And it's very difficult when things are swirling around at Westminster, round about your head, and everything's shifting all the time. So yeah, we need a period of stability. I think the public probably need that as well, to be honest. But we need a period of stability to just focus, get things over the line. And we also want, as MPs, because spoken to so many across party, we want to be delving into use test cases. What difference is this going to make in people's lives? Where can we focus? Because when I started, I was looking at it very much as finance. This was, do you know, the space I was thinking, this is finance space. Well, do you know, it's so much broader than that. I mean, you're in the space, you'll realise that. There's so much opportunity for changes in media, culture, ownership, through rights, through the blockchain. There's art, work. And there's so much that's going to be shifting that you just think we have to keep up to date with all this innovation. And we also have to understand the utility of it for day-to-day consumers and for our constituents and what works. And I think along the way, given it's a new sector, there's going to be companies who come along who look fantastic and then who fail. That happens in all new innovations. So I don't think we should expect that should be the case. But what we do want to do is make sure that our first goals are our regulatory clarity and confidence to protect those consumers, just like my constituent who was impacted right at the start.
Yeah, and thank you to him to, or her for raising this here. I think getting this journey to us having a discussion today is, for me, a lot of fun and hugely insightful. So thank you as well very much for your time and for sharing your thoughts. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Can I ask that for those who are listening, who are engaged in the space, please do reach out to the All Party Parliamentary Group, because we are on this learning curve. We are continually looking to engage to make sure that we understand what's happening and how we can bring that learning into Parliament to continue this journey. So thank you so much for today. It's part of our progress. And I thank you very much, Sean.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Lisa.